Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity to come this morning to worship you as a group of believers. Lord, help us to realize that true worship involves worshiping in spirit and in truth. Help us to learn, Lord, that worship is not just for an hour or so on a Sunday morning, but is something that involves every minute of every hour of every day of our lives. Lord, we ask you to help us understand your scriptures this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Once there was a country preacher who sold a mule to a friend. He told his friend that the mule was trained to go when the rider said, "Praise the Lord," and to stop when the rider said, "Amen." The buyer mounted the beast and commanded, "Praise the Lord," and the mule shot off like a rocket. The startled rider panicked. "Whoa," he screamed. The mule was headed straight for a cliff. "Whoa, whoa, whoa." At the last second, he remembered the minister's instructions. "Amen," he shouted. And the mule screeched to a halt right at the edge of the cliff. As the new owner peered over the precipice, he wiped his brow and sighed. "Praise the Lord." Two weeks ago, we took a look at what true worship is when it comes to our praise and to our worship on a Sunday morning. But is that where worship ends? Is worship just a matter of coming to church once or twice a week? Or is it something more? Does worship only happen for an hour or so on a Sunday morning? No, that's where true worship really begins. For those who choose to follow Jesus, worship is not something that we do for an hour a week. It is something that we are called to do and should want to do 168 hours a week. That's a 24/7 full-time job. But what is this kind of worship? Does it mean that we walk down the street singing hymns? Not quite. We have to understand that worship is getting beyond our praise, beyond lifting of our hands if we do that. It's more than just verbally praising and thanking God. It is so much more than just singing on a Sunday morning. Worship is all about living your life in the presence of God, not only in church, but outside of church, in our daily lives. Worship is also about change. It means that we need to say goodbye to some cherished but toxic behaviors and realize that true worshipers take steps of obedience, that true worshipers don't just say, they also do. That's probably not the way that many of you have viewed worship before. In fact, if I were to ask 100 people what worship is, I'd probably get 100 different answers. And perhaps the biggest misconception is the notion that worship is about us, when it should all be about the Lord. Some people think that if they perform a certain set of religious activities, then they have worshiped. But as we looked at before, worship is really worthless if it doesn't come from a heart of thankfulness to our Lord and Savior. Other people expect some form of intellectual stimulation from the sermon, and if their expectations are met, then they feel that they have worshiped. Some expect a form of entertainment, and if they are entertained, then they feel that they have been in worship. But they would be wrong. What we must understand this morning is that worship is not about intellect. It's not about entertainment. Worship is all about an encounter with the living God. The Lord wants to communicate with us. He wants to commune with us. He wants to reside in us. That is true worship. And it is because the Lord resides in us that we can go from here this morning and worship the Lord with our lives the other 167 hours of the week. 1 Corinthians 6:19 tells us, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God?" Contrary to some people's ideas, God's presence does not reside in this building or any other building. His presence resides within our hearts when we have chosen to follow Jesus as our Lord and Savior. If you come to church thinking that you are going to the place of worship, then you don't really understand what worship is. This church building is just a place of fellowship where united worship takes place for an hour or so. True worship continues through the rest of our lives, the rest of the week. As Tony Evans, the author and pastor, once said, if you limit worship to where you are, the minute you leave that place of worship, you will leave your attitude of worship behind, just like a crumpled up church bulletin. True worship comes from our hearts. Hearts that are in awe of God. Hearts that are full of thanksgiving towards God. Hearts that want to be faithful to the God who is always faithful to us. It is out of hearts like this that true worship comes. And it is seen in sacrifice, because true worship will cost us something. Usually self-worship, if we really want to be true worshipers of the living God. Worship always involves sacrifice, the giving of ourselves. It involves giving the first of what we have and not what is left over. True worship is seen by how we live our lives, by what we say, by what we think and by what we do, and how we interact with the people around us, in our homes, in our schools, in our workplaces, or anywhere else that we may be. The Bible, when you think about it, is really a guidebook on how to worship God. And worship is really about loving God who first loved us. Jesus even said that this was the greatest commandment. In Mark 12:30, he said, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Jesus said that this was the first and the greatest commandment. In other words, what Jesus was saying is, if you get nothing else right in life, make sure you get this. Our mission in life is to learn how to love God back. Because God loves us and created us to love Him and to know Him. And that is what true worship really is. Our first purpose in life is not to get ahead, make lots of money, gain lots of degrees, or get promotions. It is simply to worship God. It is our primary objective, our highest priority. And when worshiping God comes first, God will take care of all these other things for us. Do you remember the words from Romans 12:1 that Devin read for us a couple weeks back? It said, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. The key word here is to offer. True worship is all about offering ourselves to God. It is our response to God's love. God made the first move. Now it's up to us to respond. As I said before, this is impossible to do unless we are born again and have the new nature within us. If we don't have that new nature in the Holy Spirit, then all we will want to do is to worship ourselves, because that is our human nature. But because of Jesus and because of our faith in Him, we have a new nature, a nature that won't be satisfied unless we truly worship God with our lives. So this morning, I'm just going to look at some practical things about how to worship the Lord every day of our lives. First is giving our lives to Jesus and commit ourselves to being true worshipers and true followers of His. Second is putting off the old nature and putting on the new. Ephesians 4:22 and 24 tells us, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Sometimes we get into thinking that God is going to do everything for us, but that isn't the case. He will give us the strength that we need to do what has to be done. And we are told to get rid of the old sinful nature. That means that we have to turn our backs on the ways of the world. It means to get rid of those old vices, the old sins that have no place in a Christian's life. It means giving up self-worship and worshiping God instead. Colossians 3:5 puts it this way. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world, but now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. All of you have probably seen those hoarding shows on TV, you know, where people get new things and basically throw them in on top of the old, and all you get is one big mess. Well, with the Lord, things are different. There is no such thing as hoarding in God's economy. You just can't put the new in with the old. God says to get rid of the old things first, and then you can have the new. Unfortunately, there's so many Christians living today ineffective and miserable lives because they want to hold on to that old nature, those old things. They want to live with one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world's kingdom. They want to continue in their old ways, those things that they think are helping, or things that they say that they enjoy. But in reality, they are the things that are destroying them and keeping them back from God's best for them. God says to get rid of them so that He can give you the abundant new life that He wants to give you. It's an excellent trade, believe me. And this isn't a religious set of religious rules of do's and don'ts. It's just a matter of listening to the Holy Spirit after we ask, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do if a bunch of your fellow students or co-workers started telling dirty stories? What would Jesus do if a show on TV was all about sex and bad language? And what would you do in these situations if Jesus was sitting right beside you? The reality is that Jesus is not only sitting beside you, He's on the inside of you. So what would you do? Once we are born again and purpose to get rid of our old nature, our old habits and ways of doing things, what's the next step to truly worship the Lord? What do we offer God to truly worship Him? Well, we offer Him our love. And according to Mark 12:30, we love Him and truly worship Him thoughtfully with our minds, passionately with our hearts and with our souls, and practically with all of our strength. God created the entire universe, and He created you. But there are three things that God does not have unless you give them to Him. He doesn't have your attention or your affection or your ability, your mind, your heart, and your strength, until you give them to Him. So let's have a look at giving God our attention. One way of expressing love to another person is by giving our attention to them. We see this in God's great love for each and every one of us. Do you know that God is always focused on you? Psalm 139:1 says, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. God notices everything you do, and He knows everywhere you go. He has focused His attention on you, and He never takes His eyes off of you, and He never stops thinking about you. You may think, well, why would God be interested in me? He does it because he loves you. The greatest expression of love is often seen in the attention that we give to other people. And true worship is about focusing our mind, our thoughts, and our attention on God. God wants us to worship him thoughtfully. And that takes energy. It means spending time, quality time, with him daily, reading his words, praying and listening for his voice. Do you know what one of the greatest outcomes of spending time with the Lord is? It is trust. The more time that you spend with the Lord, the more that you will trust him. And the more that you will trust him, the more that you will be willing to be led by him, to be the people that he has called you to be. Focusing our attention on the Lord is the only way that we will really accomplish our created purpose. It is the only way that we can live the abundant life that he offers, a life of fellowship with God, a life of purpose, a life of meaning as we are obedient to him. It is also trust that allows us to worship God in another way, and that is in patience. Did you know that patience is worship? When you trust the Lord to bring what you need when you need it, that hope, that thankful expectation is true worship to the Lord. But if we don't trust the Lord, if we haven't developed that trust in him, we can become angry. We can become disillusioned and tired and fed up with things. And maybe we even walk away from God altogether. So let's make up our minds to truly worship and love the Lord thoughtfully with our minds. And also affectionately with our hearts. We are told to love God with our heart and with our soul. This means that true worship engages our emotions. I know that for many, this is difficult. Because many of us grew up in religious traditions where worship was an intellectual thing. And any emotional expression of any kind was usually frowned upon. I find it amazing, though, when I see church people at hockey games screaming, yelling, and cheering. But then they come to church before the God of all eternity, and sometimes they don't look very excited. I think that sometimes in the church we have sacrificed joy on the altar of man-made rules and expectations. The truth is that God wants us to be excited about our faith and about the relationship that we have with him. The Lord wants us to have a close relationship. He wants it with each one of us. He wants to be loved. The Lord just doesn't want us going through the same motions week after week. God doesn't just want our duty. He wants our desire. He doesn't want ritual and religion and rules and regulations. He wants a relationship. He's passionate about it, and he's passionate about you. And so I think that it is time for the Church of Jesus Christ to get passionate about him. So how do we love God passionately? It comes down to first understanding in a personal way God's great love for us. Our love, our true heart of worship to him and for him, flows out of a personal understanding of his love for us. As John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. God has said, I love you in 1,000 different ways. He created you. He's taken care of you. God has said over and over again, I love you. His love letter to us, the Bible, is full of examples. The most important thing that you can know is that God loves you. And the most important thing to do in your life is to love him back. That's what true worship is. It's not an event. It's a lifestyle of loving God who first loved us. So when you get up every morning, and even before you get out of bed, say something like this little prayer. Lord, if I don't get anything else done today, at the end of this day, I want to know you a little bit more, and I want to love you a little bit more. If you do that, then your day will be okay. No matter how bad the day went or how many plans fell apart, if at the end of the day you know God a little bit better, and if you love Him a little bit more, then that day was truly a success. So how do we express our affection? A good way to start is just by saying thank you. Start looking around at everything and start thanking God. God, thank you for the beautiful sky. God, thank you for the trees that will soon have leaves upon them. Thank you for the air. Thank you that I am still breathing. Thank you that I woke up this morning, and thank you that I had something to eat. If you're a little reluctant to get emotional, to really engage your heart and soul with the Lord in church, then I suggest you do it by yourself at home. Start there. But I think that there is coming a day when we need to have more of that in our Sunday morning worship service as well, even if it means we have to have two services. Do you know what some people call Presbyterians? They call us the chosen frozen. You know, now that's not very nice, is it? But maybe we need to break that stereotype, not to please people, but to please God. It's amazing, but it's true. When you begin to move your body in praise, when you begin to move your lips in testimony, or move your hands toward heaven in worship, it is actually your heart that will be moved. We should try it sometime. We may actually like it. I think the Lord will. Finally, Jesus told us that true worship involves loving God with all of our strength. And that involves using our abilities for His glory. The Lord wants us to see Him with our minds and sense Him with our heart and soul. But He also wants us to serve Him with our strength. God has created all of us to be in relationship. Relationship with Him and relationship with one another. Now the men here will know what I am talking about. Our wives like to hear that we love them. And they like to know that we feel it. But the greatest way that we can ever express our love is by showing it. It's the same with any relationship, including our relationship with the Lord. Sometimes around the house there are chores to be done that we don't want to do. Sometimes there are things that need to be fixed and errands that need to be run and we don't feel like doing them. These are practical things that we can do to show our love. Not just with our words, but with our actions. And when we do this for the Lord, it is a big part of what true worship is. Serving Him with all of our gifts and our abilities. Even to the point of sacrifice. Serving, even when we don't feel like it. Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters." Some may be thinking that if my greatest purpose in life is to get to know and to get to love God a little more, then you should just join a monastery and spend every day and all day in church. Now, there's nothing wrong with going to church, but you don't have to live here to truly worship the Lord. You simply have to change who you're working for. Many try to compartmentalize their life, thinking that worship is something that only happens on a Sunday morning in church or midweek Bible study, and that the rest of the week is for their secular career and social life, but that isn't true. Get this one truth, if nothing else, this morning, because I think it will revolutionize our lives. It is not, in life, it is not what you do that matters. It is who you do it for. If you give all that you do to God and for His glory, all your work can be turned into true worship. You could be a butcher, a baker, a candlestick maker, and you can do it all for the glory of God by saying, "I'm going to do this as if I'm doing it for you, Lord." It doesn't really matter what you do. It's who you do it for that matters. That attitude will also keep us from doing things that we know aren't honoring to God, like engaging in foolish talk and gossip at the water cooler. I usually don't use the Message Bible, but I like the way it words Romans 12:1. It says, "So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Remember that the word offer is the essence of worship. We offer our lives to God. This includes everything that we do. This isn't just in church. It happens in the ordinary, routine, mundane things of life when you say, Lord, I'm going to do this for you. Whether it's taking out the garbage, making beds, or milking the cow, everything can be turned into an act of worship if you do it with all of your heart and soul, as though you were working for the Lord. We were all created to worship someone or something. And whether we realize it or not, every hour of every day is spent worshiping something. For Christians, that should be the Lord and the Lord alone. But there will always be temptations to worship other things, ourselves, our finances, our position in society. Even Jesus was tempted by Satan in this area when he basically said to Jesus in the wilderness, why don't you worship something else? The biggest temptation in life is always going to be to worship something or someone else other than God. To give your attention, your affection, and ability to something other than the Creator who made you. The greatest mistake we as individuals and we as a church can make in life is to miss our created purpose, to love and worship God. We were made to know and to love God. So I challenge you to make as the number one goal of your life before everything else, to put off the things of this world, to worship the Lord thoughtfully with your mind, passionately with your heart and with your soul, and practically with all of your strength. Not just here on a Sunday morning for an hour or two, but every hour of every day for the rest of your earthly lives.